always very grateful whenever I have the opportunity to speak at the Mishmar of the Kollel, and it gives me a chance to express my Hakaras HaTov to the Kollel, the Yungalai, to the Rashi HaKollel, for everything that they do for our Kehillah. It's something that we can't even fathom how much Hakaras HaTov we must have. And so to be able to speak at the Mishmar, especially one during Elul, is for me personally very, very meaningful. It's always hard to know when it's in middle of Elul, especially when you're speaking in a place as choshev as the Kollel and their Mishmar, exactly what topic to address. So I was thinking about something that I and certainly a number of other people could probably learn from, especially when you speak in the place of the Kollel, something that will hopefully make our Elul more meaningful. There's a vart I said over here in Shul a couple weeks ago. I see it brought down in this Sefer from Reb Shmuelka Nicholsburg. I was very attracted to the vart, not only because of how powerful it is, but also because less than 2 months ago I had the privilege to be in Nicholsburg by the Kever of the Rebbe Reb Shmuelka of Nicholsburg, and I spoke there. So that makes any Dvar Torah from him extremely meaningful. I realized there was a powerful Dvar Torah. This past week I was speaking to someone in Miami Beach, someone who was a big, big Talmud of my father's Atzal, and when I just so much as started the Vart and maybe said a few sentences, he finished it verbatim. And he said to me, because I knew normally he wouldn't do that. Normally this person would let me finish the Vart, and he wouldn't, steal the thunder. He said, but in this case I had to. He says, that was a Vart that I heard from your father dozens and dozens of times. He said, I cannot even tell you the love and the passion your father had for that Vart. So I was extremely, on a personal level, I was very warmed that exactly the Dvar Torah I was so attracted to, I found that my father's Atzal said very often. The Shaila was asked to Reb Shmuelka of Nicholsburg, how could it be that so many tefillos are offered on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and it seems like often those tefillos aren't answered? How is that possible? So Reb Shmuelka of Nicholsburg explained, very often when people are mispala on the Yom Noroyim, their tefillos are not channeled correctly at all. Most of us spend a lot of our time on these incredible days talking about the personal things that we need. We need the gezunt, and we need the parnas, and we need the yiddish nachas, and we need the shalom, and all of the things that we need. Now there is a time and a place to address those things, but it's not to take up the motif of Rosh Hashanah davening. That's about one thing and one thing only. Spending the time, those 2 days, explaining and understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech al kol ha'aretz kuloi. That there are times that we throw in, certainly, you see in the Machzor, that we throw in personal tefillos. But for that to take over our Rosh Hashanah, when that is not what the focus should be, he says, that's why our tefillos aren't answered the way we so desire. And he explained a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf, which I'm sure many of you know, it's a famous vart now, but I still thought it was so incredible. When David didn't show up, there was a suda that Shaul HaMelech made. And for 2 days in a row, David didn't show up. And at one point, Shaul asked Yoinasan, his son, why is Ben Yishai not here? Why did David not come? The Lashon of the Pasuk is, Madua lo bo Ben Yishai gam temol gam hayayim al halechem. Why is Ben Yishai, which is David, not at the feast I made, the lechem, not yesterday nor today? Said Reb Shmuelka of Nicholsburg, you should read this Pasuk differently. People are asking me, Madua lo bo Ben Yishai? Why hasn't Mashiach Tzidkenu, who's of course referred to as Ben Yishai, Madua lo bo, why hasn't he come? Gam Timol, gam Hayayim, not yesterday nor today, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, why hasn't he come? The answer is Al HaLechem. Because most people are spending their time asking for Lechem, for Parnasa, and this personal need, and that personal need, and if that's the focus on what takes up your davening instead of what's written in the Machzor, he's not coming. And that's the word I found out that my father so admired and said over so often that this Balabas said, I pusha couldn't let you finish it. Why doesn't he come the 2 days Rosh Hashanah? Al halechem, because there's so much personal bakasha. And again, there is a time. I'm not minimizing, but there's a time for it, not that it should take over. When I was thinking about the topic that I wanted to address to myself tonight, al pi drush, I wanted to say a little bit of a different explanation in the pasuk that we just said. The way I explained it is the way the Rebbe of Shmelk of Nicholsburg explains it. But I thought to myself that lechem, besides referring to obviously bread, lechem is also very, very often a reference to Torah. In fact, it was at a mishmar about a year and a half ago, around Shavuos time, that I was able to express, based on a Balaturim, where it says by the karbonos, karbonos need as karboni lachmi, they need bread accompanying it, that bread is Torah. And just like a karbonos from the word karav, to get closer to Hashem, the lechem, which is the Torah, gets you closer to Hashem. And at that time, we said from the Balaturim many such proofs that lechem is always a reference to the Torah HaKdosha. Maybe with that in mind, the new explanation of lechem, what the pasuk is telling us is, Madua lo ba ben Yishai gam tamol gam hayayim. Why might it be that our Rosh Hashanah is not nearly as effective as we want it to be? Al halechem. Because our approach and our understanding and our appreciation of the lechem, which is Torah, is not on the level that it should be. And so for myself, and for just saying it a little louder for others to listen as well, maybe if our approach and our appreciation and understanding and acknowledgement of the lechem, the Torah, is greater, then it will give greater power for our tefillahs to be answered on Rosh Hashanah. There's a pshat that I saw brought down from a sefer, Zichron Moshe, where he explains, it's obviously in a very powerful sense. There's a pasuk in last week's parsha, Devarim Chaf Aleph, that speaks about someone who did a chet, whose oinish is misa. The pasuk says, "V'chi yihye v'ish chet mishpat moves." When a man did an aveira who he deserves mishpat moves, a judgment of death, the humas, and he has to be put to death. V'solisa oisay al ha'etz, al eitz, you hang him on a tree. It's a pasuk in last week's parsha, Perek Chaf Aleph, pasuk Chaf Beis. Sefer Zichron Moshe brings down something that's really, really powerful. Al pidrush, you could understand the pasuk in a different way. Sometimes a person wonders why something is happening or why there is a particular difficulty. We know what the Gemara in Brachos tells us, Daf Hey. Imroya Adam She Yisurim Boyin Olav. If a person finds that they're going through Yisurim, Yefashvesh B'maisav, then he has to search his deeds. Pishpesh V'loy Matza. If he searches and doesn't find anything that he feels is the cause for what he's going through, Yisla B'bitol Taira. He should therefore be toila it. Now, really, the Pashupshat is it the Yisurim. I think I saw B'Shem de Vilna Gaon in a different part. The last word said, Pish Pesh V'loi Matzav. He searched and didn't find. Another way, says the Vilna Gaon, is Yisle. You should be toila the fact that you couldn't find anything in Bittul Torah. Your inability to find something is because of Bittul Torah. But the Pashupshat in the Gemara is that if something's happening and you're not sure why, the first place to check is Bittul Torah, which is really what we're explaining, Al HaLechem. Bittul Torah, of course, means that one isn't learning properly, but by extension, it also means that our Gedolim and the Loimdei Torah and the Machzikei Torah are not shown enough appreciation. So Sefer Zichron Moshe reads this pasuk Al Pidrush. V'chiyia v'ish chet mishpat moves. If a man is going through a time that he feels is mishpat moves, meaning he's going through difficulties, he's going through isurin, and he's wondering why, v'solisa oisai al eitz. And what is eitz always a reference to? Torah! Eitz chayim hilam achazikim ba. So if a person's going through a difficult time, says the Sefer Zichron Moshe, v'solisa oisai al eitz, You should, of course, it's al pidrush. You should be toile it, and you should tell yourself the reason that it's happening is because of the eitz. And eitz, of course, refers to eitz chayim hilam achazikim ba, which is a reference to the Torah HaKdoshah. There's something that's missing. The proper appreciation isn't there. And if the proper appreciation isn't there, you can't go around asking the question, Madua lo ben Yishai gam temel gam hayoim. I had just said over, actually, in a Gemara shir a little while ago, a Maisa, and when I said it, I said, you know, that would be a Moiridika Maisa to say here. Just to give you an idea of what it means to be one with the Torah. Your uncle, Rav Shmuel David Friedman, says over the Maisa very often, many years ago when the, I may have said it here, forgive me if I already did, many years ago when the Rashiva of Demir was Rav Nochum Pertsovitz, the son of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, so the Zman that in Mir they were learning Nedarim. So he was walking down the Beis Medrash, the aisle in the Mir, and he saw two Bachrim that were clearly bottling, but they saw the Rashiva of Nochum coming. So they quickly started to shuckle with the Gemara Nedarim open in front of them, and they said, Tanu Rabbanan! And Reb Nochum went over to them and said, the way I heard it was, his words were, Nish nor that you are batlonim, but you're also shakronim. Because in the entire Masechta Nedarim, it doesn't say Tanu Rabbanan even once. When this Maisa was brought to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zoller Gesund und Stark sein, and he heard over the Maisa, he nodded his agreement, and he then added, but on Dav Chav Vav Omer Aleph, towards the bottom, it does say one time, Ditanu Rabbanan. Now I do have to just add, because I went from that year straight to this year, I didn't have a chance to look up which daf it is. I heard the story a few years ago, and there is a daf that says Ditanu Rabbanan, that's for sure. I think it's somewhere in the mid-chav, so Mamela, when I just said it now, I said it as Chav Vav Amid Aleph. If you run home and don't find it there, on that aspect I may have been incorrect. It may be a few blot earlier, a few blot later, but the story is exactly the way it happened. I had the schus a couple of years ago in Montreal to attempt, they asked to be maspid, the Poisek Hador Rebel Yoshev. And I had said over a Maisa then that Diane Donner had said on multiple occasions. Diane Donner, for a few years that he was in Eretz Yisrael, had gotten extremely close to the Poisek Hador Rebel Yoshev. And when they were ending the time and Diane Donner was going back and leaving Eretz Yisrael, he had the courage that he asked Rebel Yoshev if we could stay in touch. And can we correspond? And so Rebbe Yoshev responded, yes, by means of writing and writing back and forth. Diane Donner Viter, he took the courage to say, I didn't mean that way. I meant like through a phone, telephone. So Rebbe Yoshev was certainly a little bit hesitant to have to be tied down to the phone. So Diane Donner explained, no, I'll only use it for something that's like really, you know, dachuf, a big emergency. So Rebbe Yoshev was masking me, told him Diane Donner, fine. So Diane Donner turned to Rebbe Yoshev and said, what's your phone number? So Rebbe Yoshev said, my number is 53. I don't know the rest. You have to ask the Rebbetzin, she'll tell you the rest. So Diane Donner, in his inimitable style, he storms. You're talking about Rebbe Yoshev, we can't even fathom the mind and the ability to make calculations in a mikvah, in an eruv, in different numbers. He could do things that computers couldn't do, but his own phone number, he says, I know the 5 and the 3, the rest you have to ask the Rebbetzin. I said over a few days ago a Maisa that I heard from our family Mechutin Reb Moshe Schmelzer. This is the way I heard it. That many years ago, at least 30, there was a very shvera shaila that came up in Eretz Yisrael b'negei Hilchos Gittin. And the way I heard the Maisa was that the three of the Gedolei Yisrael, Reb Shlomo Zalman, Rebbe Yoshev and his son-in-law, Yibodeh ben Chaim L'Chaim, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, were in a room. I said this over last night. And I heard that they were, for a long time, clearing the shaila. I think one time when I heard the story, I heard that they were clearing it for 2 hours. Even if it wasn't 2 hours and it was a very long time, imagine what it was like with the three of them in a room clearing a shaila together. I tried to explain to people, the conversation didn't happen in the following way. Well, there's a Gemara on Daf Nun Vav that brings down, that's not the way it happened. It happened like a rapid machine gun where one said, yeah, but creases Daf Gimel. The other said, but what do you mean? From Chayshim Mishpat, you see differently. And it was just Mar Mekaymas flying back and forth. And there was no resolution to the Shaila. So at one point, one of them made the comment to the other two, actually to a Gabbai who was outside, bring a telephone, we need to call America. That was what they said, we need to call America. They got the phone, and that obviously meant they had to call Rav Moshe Feinstein. And the way I heard the Maisa was that the three of them called Rav Moshe, presumably on speakerphone, and they asked the Shaila to Rav Moshe that they had been clearing for all of this time, and Al HaMakom, on the spot, Rav Moshe gave them an answer to their Shaila. And at that point, when they hung up the phone again, I heard the following addendum more than once. The three of them, one time I heard it that they sang, and one time I heard it that they sang and danced to the words, Moshe Emes V'Sayrasay Emes. And so when I was thinking about this topic, about there's such a gap between our understanding, Al Halechem, and what it's all about, these few things that I mentioned, about Rebbe Yoshev, about Rebbe Moshe, about the three Gedolim, about Rebbe Nochum, about Rebbe Chaim, all of these things just came to my mind. But there is definitely a level of appreciation, understanding, a level of learning, a level, I think, Bittul is not only Bittul Torah, but Bittul being Mevatalit. That's something that every one of us have to work on. And for more than one reason. There's a pshat brought down. I said this around Tisha B'Av. I was very moved when I saw the pshat. It says that Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, and the famous Gemara and Gittin, were not two unrelated people. But the Marsha himself says Kamtza and Bar Kamtza were actually a father and a son. Hence the name Bar Kamtza. He was the son of Kamtza. And many people ask the Shaila that the Gemara in the beginning of Gittin says the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the two of them. I mean, why the two of them? Bar Kamtza, I understand. Kamtza, what did the father do? The father wasn't even at the party. Bar Kamtza, I understand. And there's a lot of explanations. What in the world are you faulting Kamtza for? He wasn't even at the party. Especially if you say it's the father. What did the father do wrong? So in one of the Svarim, I saw a very powerful pshat, and it will explain to you why I chose Al Halechem and why I chose it during Elul. One of the things that the Gemara said Bar Kamtza was faulting was the Chachamim. Why did they sit and not do anything? They saw what happened and they didn't do anything. In the Sefer of Mosu Ka'or, he brings down a vart. Bar Kamtza, you were making a terrible mistake. You want to know why the Chachamim sat there and didn't do anything? You know what the answer is? The Chachamim were not there. What do you mean the Chachamim weren't there? I'm Bar Kamtza, and I'm staring at them. Okay, so you could give the answer that it was a big banquet hall and they were on the other side of the banquet hall. That's not what it means. They could have been a table away. Bar Kamtza says, but I'm staring at them. What do you mean you're staring at them? You're staring at the body of the Talmud Chacham. But when they get so orangutan in a sugya, when they get so involved in the Yama Talmud and the Amkus of Halacha, they don't stay there. Their neshama goes to Har Sinai, they transcend their lamois. And they don't mean this, by the way. The answer he was giving is he doesn't mean it on some type of esoteric sense. He means it poshut. What do you mean you saw them? They weren't there. No, but I'm staring at them. Are you kidding me? You're staring at the goof of the Chachamim. But when they get so rangeton in a sugya, they're not there. They're by Har Sinai. They're in the Kaisle Beis Medrash. Bar Kamtza, you don't understand that? You were never exposed to that level of learning? Then in part, you know who we have to blame? Your upbringing. Hence the Gemara says the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. Now I'm not saying that there are any magical solutions and everyone knows it's Siyata Dishmaya and Tfilois. But at least to give the children a fighting chance. If Bar Kamtza was at the banquet hall and Bechlal didn't deher and didn't chap that what he was seeing was an exalted level of Kabbalah Satayri, he was clueless, then part of that blame has to be put on his upbringing. Shusa biyanuka deshukoi devuoi deime. Memela de Gemara says part of the fault lies with your father, and the Chorbin came about because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. How could you not even know that that level of being involved in a sugya exists? At least let's stand a chance of being involved in the lechem on every level. The learning of it, the support of it, the appreciation of it. It's not something that you often hear during Chodesh Elul. But for so many reasons I thought, maybe taka madua lo bo ben yishai gam tamo gal hayayim al halechem. It's a level that we better appreciate and make sure that our children do as well. In that same sefer, Umosu Ka'or, he brings down such an incredible maisa. He says it b'shem Reb Tzvi Yabrov, who once heard the story himself. More than 60 years ago, in the sukkah of the stipler was sitting there, and next to him was his son Reb Chaim, Zol er gesund und stark sein. Reb Chaim at the time was 22. So you make a calculation, you know the story was more than 60 years ago. Rav Shach walked into the sukkah. You can just imagine the scene. We have pictures of it. This happened in real time. Rav Shach walked into the sukkah and he went over to the stipler and he said into his ear that he wants to read a shidduch to his son Chaim. But since he's sitting next to you, it's Shalona Im. It's not appropriate that we should talk about the shidduch and who it is when he's here. So maybe he's asking, Sheyishlach osu min asukkah, send him out of the sukkah. He shouldn't hear the shidduch. The stipler turns to Rav Shach and says, it's okay. Atah yachol itzok, you can yell about the shidduch. Bein koi v'koi loy shoymeya. Between here and where Reb Chaim's sitting, he's not going to hear you. He's so shakua belimud. E bar kamtza. Mamish, the antithesis of what he didn't understand is what's taking place in this maisa. He says he could yell about the shidduch. He's so arangeton and shakua in his learning. Yell about the shidduch, he won't hear you. And how big do you think the stipler sukkah was? We're talking about Reb Chaim was probably less than a couple feet away. The maisa continues that Reb Yabrov heard the story and he couldn't hold back. He found himself by Reb Chaim. And he had to find out from Reb Chaim himself about the story. So he asked Reb Chaim, Taka, more than 60 years ago, the stipler, you were sitting in the sukkah, and Rav Shach walked in and wanted to read a shidduch, like that. And he goes on, at that point, when he hears the story, Reb Chaim turns to Reb Yabrov and he says, really? Rav Shach was in the sukkah? Rav Shach came and asked about a shidduch? That's what it means to reach a level that even if it's something, I want to make it crystal clear, even if it's something that we, on our own, don't have the ability to reach, there are two things we for sure do have. To strive, and to make sure that our family gets it. There's a powerful maisa that I heard a few times from Reb Ephraim Waxman, Soll er gesund und stark sein. just giving us an idea of how people were Moser Nefesh, and the Mesiras Nefesh we have to give over to our families. He says that in Krakow, at one point the Germans said, they rounded up all the Sifrei Torah, and they put the Sifrei Torah like in the square of the city, and they were about to do terrible, terrible bizyonis with the Sifrei Torah. But the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichrom, they didn't want to just make it happen in an easy fashion. So they called somebody out of the line. Rabbi Ephraim Waxman says it was the barber, and his name was Srulik. Rabbi Ephraim Waxman says that Srulik the barber was a simple yid, in the sense we can't know how learned he was, what he knew or what he didn't know. And the Nazis called him out of the line and they told him, take a Sefer Torah, undress the Torah, throw it onto the floor, spit on it, and step on it. And Srulik, this simple or not so simple barber, takes the Torah, he picks it up, and he holds it as tight as he possibly can. And he starts to dance with the Torah because he envisions what he remembered Simchas Torah was. And at this point, the Nazi is becoming furious, and the Nazi tells him how quickly and how brutally he'll meet his death. I want you to throw it on the floor. I want you to kick it and step on it and spit on it. And Srulik, the simple barber, starts to dance even more because now he's thinking of how the Rav dances on Simchas Torah. And the Nazi can't take it anymore. The Nazi takes gasoline. And he douses Srulik the barber in gasoline and he says, you have one final chance. And at that point, when he continues to dance even more, Lebedik with the Torah, thinking of Simchas Torah, at that point the Nazi takes a match. And afterwards there is a pillar of fire. And if a person would have asked Srulik at that moment, so tell me, what prompted you to do what you did? What is it that you saw? Rabbi Ephraim Waxman said he would have answered, and I think I understood he actually did answer, like one of the Asara Haruge Malchus, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyain. When his body was being burnt as well, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyain answered the famous answer, the parchment is being burned. But Oisiyos Parchos Ba'avir, you cannot burn the letters. The letters will live on forever. Reb Chanina ben Tradyon understood the parchment maybe, but not the Torah, not the letters. And a couple thousand years later, when Srulik, before he became that Eish, that pillar of fire, said the same thing. I see the parchment is burning, but the letters will never die. This concept of what the Torah represents that may be foreign to some of us or close to some of us has to be, at least for me, an avoida during the month of Elul. Can a person ever destroy the Torah? Can any one of the nations really ever do anything to harm the Torah? There's a fabulous mice I just saw brought down. The Brisker Rav, amongst his many illustrious children, one of his sons was known as Reb Chaim. He was called Chaim de Ravs. And he used to go from place to place and he would say over brilliant Divrei Torah. And on one Shivasar B'Tammuz, Chaim de Rav, Reb Brisker Rav's son, said over the following powerful thought. Only a fool thinks that you could burn the Torah. Only a fool thinks you could get rid of the Torah. He says, I'll bring you a proof. It's Shivasar B'Tammuz. We just finished the previous Masechta was Tainus. At the very end of Tainus, it says five things happened on Shivasar B'Tammuz. What were one of the five things that happened? Apostamos burnt the Torah. So said the Brisker of son Reb Chaim. So Apostamos thinks he burnt the Torah. So tell me, you burnt the Torah. And you burnt the parchment. So now I'm asking you, Apostamos, did you get rid of the Torah? Did you? So Reb Chaim answered so beautifully, not only didn't you get rid of the Torah, But you know what you actually caused? When Rabbeinu HaKadosh was writing the Mishnayos and he was putting it together, as a result of what you did, there actually was 7 words that were added to the Mishnah. B'shivaser b'tamuz sorev apostumus es ha-Torah. Last time I counted that 7 words, b'shivaser b'tamuz sorev apostumus es ha-Torah. So he walked around dancing with joy. He said, no, he thought he was burning the Torah. And instead, what did he accomplish? That every time you open up a tainus, as we just did in our shir, and you say the words, every word of the Torah is a mitzvah saseh, because of what he did, not only didn't he burn the Torah, he made the Torah more lebedik. And because of what he thought he did, Rabbeinu HaKadosh added 7 words, B'shiv Osir B'tamuz, Sarav Apostomus as HaTorah. You can't get rid of the Torah. The nations think they can. But as Reb Chanina ben Tradyain said, they can burn the parchment, but the Oisiyos will live on forever. How ironic that Apostomus thought he was burning the Torah, and what he ended up creating was a more magnificent mission at the end of Tainus. This is a concept, Vaisdois, you find not only by Gedolim, but the concept we have to give over to our families. When's the last time we opened up a Baba Kama? Open up a Baba Kama to Daf Ayin Zayin. I know recently one of the yeshivas turned it into a very powerful video. You'd probably want to learn the Gemara on Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Zayin, because there's about 8 words of Gemara. The entire page is a Tosfos, 2 Tosfos actually. It's the most you will find. You'll take a look and you'll see the Tosfos filling up Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Zayin. And what's the famous story behind it? You don't need me to tell you the Maisa, but I think it's very apropos for our topic. The Balei HaTosfos were taken by the Crusaders and they were chained and they were bound in an underground dungeon. And they knew that in the morning they were all going to be killed. But they weren't finished writing that Tosfos. So the Balei HaTosfos, who had some type of sharp knife with them, took the knife and cut the points of their fingers. And they collected the blood in a bowl. And with the red ink, they wrote that Tosfos. And that's the Tosfos you'll read when you learn Baba Kama Daf Ayin Zayin. And that's the level that we said Kamsa and Bar Kamsa didn't understand, that it brought about the Chorban. It's a level of understanding that the Balei Tosfos went ahead knowing full well what was going to happen to them in the morning and created from the red blood of their fingers ink and wrote Tosfos. That's what I and my children and you and your children have to understand. It happens to be that it's on that same video that I just referred, that it says over a famous Maisa about a Yid, Rabbi Yosef HaKohen. Rabbi Yosef HaKohen was blessed with 2 children, Yehuda and Aryeh Leib. And they were gems. And each of them had only 1 shirt, and they were in cheder, they came home, and their mother said in the morning she had to wash the shirt of each one. And while she was washing it and drying it, she told them to stand by the oven until it was ready. The Malamed saw that his 2 gems were not in cheder that day, and he couldn't teach without Yehuda and Aryeh Leib. He goes to their home and he asks where they are. Rabbi Yosef HaKohen isn't sure. He asks his wife, and the wife says, they only have 1 shirt each and I'm washing it. Rabbi Yosef HaKohen says to himself, they've got to go to cheder. They can't miss any learning. And so Rabbi Yosef HaKohen takes off his own shirt. And he takes his 2 little children and he wraps both of them in 1 shirt. And he sends them off to cheder. One can only imagine what the scene might have been like, that the two little boys were wrapped in the one shirt of their father, but it didn't make a difference because Torah had to be learned. And because of what Rabbi Yosef HaKohen did that day, we and the world are the beneficiaries of those two children, as those of you who know the Maisa know, that his son Yehuda grew up to be the Kuntras HaSveikos, and the brother Aryeh Leib grew up to be the Heilige Ketzos. And that's something that we have to remember. Madua lo bo ben Yishai gam timol gam hayayim. Maybe because we are far from understanding and appreciating some of the things we just said. But Elul is a time to realize that something can be done about it. A number of years ago, there was a Yid in Brooklyn, as I heard the Maisa, who said to his Rav that he wanted to make Achnasa Sefer Torah. It surprised the people. He wasn't a man of means. A Sefer Torah could be $40,000, $50,000. How could he do that? And he explained to his Rav that he had been saving money and putting aside a few dollars every week for decades. And he said, I'll tell you why. When I was in the Milchama and I was in one of the concentration camps, because of how freezing it was in the winter, the Nazis, at least to help us work, gave us wooden clogs. And one day I'm about to put on the wooden clogs that they gave me, and I looked down and I saw that the insole was a cut-out piece of a Sefer Torah. The Nazis, Yimach Shemom v'Zichrom, in their diabolical plan, cut up a Sefer Torah and fit it into wooden clogs as the insole. And he said to himself, I knew that I had to wear the clogs because otherwise I would freeze to death. But I also realized every step I took, I was trampling and stepping on the Sefer Torah. And I couldn't live with myself knowing that every step I was stepping on the Sefer Torah, I made up that if I survive, I will save up enough money to have a Sefer Torah written. Mida keneged mida, measure for measure, they insisted that I step on the Torah, I will dance with the Torah. I will make Achnasa Sefer Torah. I'm not a man of means, but for decades I saved up, and this Achnasa Sefer Torah is because they had me step on it, and now, like Srulik, I'm going to dance with it. It's definitely a level that we can aspire to. Every person on their own level, in terms of learning, appreciating, acknowledging, supporting, it's something that's within everybody's reach. And more importantly, besides for ourselves, it shows our children what we're all about. And we opened up with the pshat from Reb Shmelka Nicholsburg, and we explained it, that maybe if we would take to heart the lechem, the Torah, what it has to offer, a bit more, then we won't have to ask, Madua lo bo ben Yishai. It's not something that any person can do on their own. It's something that collectively, as a kehila, we have to do. Years ago, I found what, to my mind, is probably the most beautiful and scintillating gematria that I have ever heard. There are taryag mitzvahs. Two of them were given by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the remaining 611 by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's brought down, of the 611, if you were by yourself without the assistance of anyone else, how many could you do? 60. 60 out of the 611 you could do on your own. For 551, which is the balance, it's about 90%, you need everybody else. Hence we're called a vessel, Kli. Kli is Chof Lamed Yud, Kehanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim. That means I could only accomplish on my own maybe 10% of the Torah, 60 mitzvahs. For the remaining 551, we have to unite, we need each other. And here's the gematria, and with this we'll conclude. Every morning we say, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marasha Kehilas Yaakov. Torah is spelled Tav Vav Resh Hei, which of course spot on is 611. Torah, 611 mitzvahs, tziva lanu Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. Mayrasha, which is spelled Mem Vav Rei Shin Hei, which is again spot on 551. Mayrasha Kehilas Yaakov. For those 551, you could only do it if you're a Kehila. The Torah was given Tziva Lanu Moshe. Mayrasha for 551, 90% of the Torah, it'll only happen if Kehilas Yaakov. Be'ezras Hashem, as a Kehila, we should be zeicha to fulfill the Taryag mitzvahs, to imbue and instill these values to our children. And maybe the pshat we opened up with can now be explained a little bit differently. Maybe we'll be zeicha that Ba Ben Yishai, Gam Timel Gam Hayoim, he will come on Rosh Hashanah. The tefillos will be answered Al Halechem, because our learning, our appreciation, our acknowledging, our supporting of Torah is being raised to a new level. And in that zechus, may all of our tefillos and all of our personal tefillos be answered, and may we all merit a gebenchte gesunte yor filled with yiddish and nachas and a kesiva v'chasima teiva.